So before Christmas, I started a series that was called Principles for Victory. And the reasons why I did that was because I was aware that there were people in the church that were really suffering a hammering from the enemy. More than ever, people were having hospital visits that were unscheduled, emergency hospital visits. More than ever, people were being discouraged. More than ever, people were suffering emotionally, suffering spiritually. And I felt that it was necessary that as the enemy's onslaught against us, and I believe it was because, you know, one of the things that we'd done is we declared that we were got our eyes on a certain building in the village, and we believed that God had was going to provide for us. And perhaps the enemy was sort of getting a little bit upset about that, and he says, well, I know what I'm going to do, is I'm going to pick these people off one by one, and I'll soon see that they'll have a new church building in the village. So we've had discouragement, we've had illness like we've not seen before. And like I say, before Christmas, and I preached a series, and then the first or second Sunday in January, I said, that's it. But then I became aware that the enemy was still coming on strong, that there were still people ending up in hospital. Martin ending up in hospital as an example. Other people that were still really struggling. And really felt that God still wanted me to continue this series of really being able to walk in victory, because the enemy, well, is crafty and he's wily. The Ephesians 6:11 says, put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, the devil's wiles. And another, James 4:7 says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And last week I started to talk a little bit about resisting the devil so that he will flee from you. And I spoke about, well, I used as my sermon, my text, where Paul shook off the serpent. And in the Bible, the serpent is a sort of a picture of the devil. And I was talking about shaking the serpent off, how we just need to shake him off and not allow him to stick to us. Now, perhaps we just need to underline something before I go on here, because throughout the week people have said to me, well, all I heard from last week's message was shake it off and it's your fault. And that is not what I said. So let's just understand what we're talking about. The enemy comes against us. He gets his grip on us. His grip is to disable us and demobilize us so that we cannot be effective in our ministry. He does not want us to be praying for the sick. He does not want us to be witnessing to the unsaved. He does not want us to have a new church building. He does not want us to be the people of God in the Hong Valley, lifting his name up high and flying the flag for Jesus. And so he will come against us in various different ways dependent upon who we are, and he will get his stranglehold on us, and he will attempt to demobilize us. It may be sickness, it may be discouragement that comes upon us, it may be various different struggles that we all have. Struggle to think, well, why bother with church anymore? Why bother with God anymore? The enemy is crafty, he's wily, he's devious, he's deceitful. And we need to recognize him for who he is and say we're not having any of it. Now, when it comes to shaking him off, I realize that it's not just a shaking off and he's gone. Sometimes that might well be the case. But if the enemy has been gripped onto us for a long time, the shaking off will take a lot of shaking. And it's not just a shaking off, but a continuing, no, I'm not having it. No, I'm not standing for it. I'm not accepting what the enemy is trying to put on me. I'm a child of God, and I belong to him. The enemy is not going to have victory. God is. And with God's help, I'm going to walk in victory. Now, the thing that I was sort of underlining last week is that we have got to make that choice that we're not going to allow the enemy to have his way. And it's not our fault that the enemy has come upon us, but we have a responsibility to sort of say, no, we're not having it. And the shaking off might require some effort. It might not just be 1 week, it might not be 2 weeks that we have to shake him off for. It might not be a month that we need to keep on shaking. It might not be 6 months. We might need to continually shake him off. And you say, it's not as easy as that. I know it's not. That's why God promised to help us. That's why you're not alone. And that's why I'm preaching this series, so that we can have some practical helps, some practical steps that we can take to make sure that the enemy does not have victory in our lives, but Jesus has victory in our lives, and that we are the people of God that God has called us to be. So that's a little bit of background. So don't hear condemnation. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And when the devil is the accuser of the brethren, I can't remember that scripture off the top of my head, but the devil is the accuser of the brethren. So if you feel condemnation, if you feel guilt, it's the enemy that puts that on, and you need to recognize where that's come from. Because it's not me that's condemning you, it's not God that's condemning you, it's no one else that's condemning you, it's no one else heaping guilt on. Everybody else is saying, hey, the enemy's rotten, come on, we're going to get victory, let's not allow the enemy to kick us whilst we're down. So with that in mind, a quick review of last week. We need to shake off rejection, shake off offence. Blessed is the man who is not offended in nothing. We need to shake off anger. We need to shake off discouragement. We need to shake off self-pity. Because the Lord is my portion. The Lord is my strength. We'll perhaps talk about this a little bit more at house groups. We've got the sermon that is online from last week, and it's available on a CD. If you want it on a CD, I'll provide it for you. If you want to sit down and listen to it with me and talk it through with me, I'll gladly do that if you're not able to get to any of the home groups this week. Tonight, I want to talk about how one of the ways that we continue to shake the enemy off is by the weapon of prayer. And how prayer needs to be vital in our lives if we're going to obtain victory. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this: everything that we do in Christian life is easier than prayer. Gracious me, everything we do in the Christian life is easier than prayer. Forgive me if you've heard this before, it's a well-worn illustration that I use, but I'll say it for the benefit of the people who haven't heard it before. When we pray, it is very difficult, isn't it? Yeah, if I said to you, okay, let's sit down and watch the telly, and I sat down and watched the telly with you, we'd watch it and we'd enjoy it and we'd have a good old laugh and everything. But the minute we sat down to prayer, the doorbell goes, the phone rings, the kids play up, the chicken in the oven burns, all kinds of things happen. Prayer is an effort, and the enemy doesn't like us to pray because he knows that when we do pray, his time is up. He's not got the victory anymore. He's defeated. So the enemy will flood all things into our minds to stop us praying. That is why prayer is so difficult. So what's Martin Lloyd-Jones saying? Everything we do in Christian life is easier than prayer. Our ultimate position as Christians, okay, so whether we get victory or not, is tested by the character of our prayer life. It is more important than knowledge and understanding. So you might say, well, I'm going to get victory in my life. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Bible college and get a degree. Then I'll know everything and then I'll get victory. Or I'll spend every day reading through the scripture. I'll learn Greek and I'll learn Hebrew and I'll learn all about church history. And then I'll know it all and then I'll have victory. No, Martin Lloyd-Jones is rightly saying, it's not how much you know. It's not how clever you are. But whether you're exercising your prayer life, whether you're praying, is going to be the ultimate thing that is going to know whether you get victory or not. So tonight I'm going to look at prayer. I'm going to look at scripture, a scripture that says from Ephesians 6:18, and talk us through it. So Ephesians 6:18, in context, is about putting the full armour of God and standing up against the enemy, alright? And so from verse 18 it says this: praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to that end, and keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. The first thing that I want to comment about here is praying at all times in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now in the original Greek language, there are no capital letters. So when there is a noun or a proper noun, we don't really, when there's a proper noun, we don't know whether it is a proper noun or not. There's no clue given by the capital letter. So a lot of people have said along the years, a lot of theologians who have studied this passage, that when it says praying in the spirit, it means praying in our spirit, in the sense that praying with all your heart. So what Paul is saying is pray with all your heart. But most commentators, most theologians agree that Paul is not talking about the praying in the human spirit, not praying from the depth of your heart, but he is saying praying in the Holy Spirit. Why do they say that? Because they know from the context that everything that Paul says about the Holy, about the Spirit, he's normally talking about the Holy Spirit. He's one who talks about the spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit gifts. He's the one who gives us a lot of theology about the Holy Spirit. And so it is, theologians have nigh on confident that he's talking about the Holy Spirit here. It would be like me, a Pentecostal preacher, preaching about the Holy Spirit, and at the end of my message I would say, we welcome you, Spirit. And people would say, well, what's he talking about? Well, in context, because I'm a Pentecostal preacher and I've been preaching at church about the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. So in that kind of idea, we are pretty confident that Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit here. So he's saying, pray in the Holy Spirit. And even if you don't agree with that analysis, we've still got Jude 1, 20 to 21, which says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves in your most holy faith, and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it mean for us to pray in the Holy Spirit? Now, the number one thing that immediately comes to mind is to pray in tongues, to pray in that prayer language that God gives us. When we get to the end of our own words, God gives us that Holy Spirit language that fills in the gaps, that helps us pray accurately, that knits, that hits the nail on the head regarding our prayers. And without, again, saying that I'm not going to say nobody can leave unless I'm going to lock the doors and I'm going to pray for everybody so that everybody can pray in tongues by the time they've gone out the door. I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on anyone. You know me. But I do want to encourage you to recognize that praying in the Holy Spirit language that God gives you is very effective in you being able to get victory in your life. And maybe you say, well, Ian, I've never spoken in tongues, I've never prayed in tongues, I don't know, I've never had that experience. Well then, why not ask God for that gift? Why not ask someone to pray for you that you might receive that gift? God is a good God, He's on your side, He has given you the Holy Spirit to help you, and His gifts are for the building up of the church. And so the Holy Spirit gift of speaking in tongues is for the building up of the church, which includes you. So we pray in tongues. But then also, I believe that when Paul says pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in the Spirit, he's talking about with the Spirit's guidance and with the Spirit's help. Romans 8:26 says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through words, through wordless groans. So he moves us. So we can say as we come to pray, Holy Spirit, move me. Holy Spirit, show me how to pray. Holy Spirit, show me what to pray. Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Holy Spirit, give me the words to pray. And sometimes as we come to pray before him very quietly, the Holy Spirit, who is a gentleman, will just pop those things into our mind, that into our spirits, that we need to be praying for us. He will give us wisdom. He will light the way. He will show the way. He will guide the way. He will help us how to pray. And sometimes when we come to pray for things, we don't know what to pray. So what is wrong? We're saying to God, help me to pray. Show me what to pray. Move me to pray. Stir me to pray. Help me what to pray. Give me the words to pray. Pray in the Holy Spirit. We are not to pray in our own strength, but with the Holy Spirit's help, guidance and inspiration. The contemporary English version says, always pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Wow. So next time you come to pray, don't just pray. Say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, inspire me. Holy Spirit, guide me. At all times. So you remember that the scripture that we looked at says never stop praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says pray without ceasing. Well, does that mean to say that we should never stop praying? That, okay, oh, I've not been praying for the last 5 minutes. Therefore, I've not been doing what I should have been doing, because Paul says we've got to pray without ceasing. What it does mean, it means keep the communication lines open. Last week, if you were here, you would have heard me give me an illustration about the Incredible Hulk. Don't make me angry, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. If you missed that illustration, you'll have to listen to the tape or the recording from last week. This week, the illustration is not the Incredible Hulk, but Batman. You remember Batman and Commissioner Commissioner Gordon, is it Commissioner Gordon? And there's a bat phone, isn't there? There's a bat phone. And is it the bat phone that's at Commissioner Gordon's office, or the bat phone that's in the cavern, or whatever? Whatever it is, there is a hotline, isn't there? The bat phone goes to Commissioner Gordon's office that is directly connected to Batman's home base. And likewise, there should be a phone line that is always there and ready to be used. Or another illustration we could use is an illustration about email. You know, when we send an email, we have to be connected to the internet. Try and send an email when you're not connected, it doesn't go, and it sends up an error message, whatever. Likewise, our communication line must always be open with the Lord. So that when you're walking down the street, when you're at the school gate, when you're clocking in at work, when you're doing whatever you're doing at work, whatever you're doing at college, whatever you're doing at home, whatever you're doing anywhere, there is a line that is always open to God, so that you're always always ready to listen to what God has to say, and always ready to speak a prayer to Him. Always be ready. At all times. And I've put here, pray regardless of how you feel. Pray regardless how you feel. Whether you are joyful or sad, whether you feel in desperate need of help or are feeling at ease, whether you are feeling like God is far away or that He is near. In fact, probably the most important time to pray is when you don't feel like it. The time when you most need to pray is when you don't feel like it. Wow. Next time you don't feel like praying, just stop yourself and think, the enemy doesn't want me to pray. The enemy doesn't want me to have victory in my life. Therefore, I'm going to show him I'm going to pray anyway. And you might say, well, I don't feel like praying. I'd rather watch EastEnders or... No, you probably wouldn't, would you? I'd rather watch something. I'd rather watch this. I'd rather watch that. I'd rather do this. No. Pull yourself up sharp. I'm going to pray. Even if it's a short prayer, I'm going to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. I'm going to acknowledge that I'm His child. I'm going to acknowledge that He's not going to have His, that the enemy is not going to have His way in my life, but God is going to have His way in my life, and I'm going to walk in victory. My ministry is not going to be affected, and I'm going to be glad and joyful and know the blessing of God in my life. Put down here, if we only prayed when we felt like it, we wouldn't pray at all. That's why Paul said, pray at all times. The most critical time to pray is when you don't feel like it. And then it says, with all prayer and petition. John Piper said this, free and formed, alone and assembled, desperate and delighted, explosive and extended, spontaneous and scheduled. In other words, there are all types of prayer that we can pray. Sometimes there are what I call arrow prayers, which is, help! Sometimes there are prayers and adoration. You are worthy of praise. Sometimes there are prayers of supplication where we come and humbly pray for other people. I'm just going to bring before you sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so in the church. I just felt the need to pray for them. I pray, Lord, that you just meet their every need. Sometimes we just pray to rebuke the enemy. Sometimes we pray for healing. Sometimes we pray for worshipping and adoration with praise and thanksgiving by praying the word. We pray the promises of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 23. God is on my side. Thank you, Lord, that your goodness and your mercy. Girl's already told us about mercy tonight, hasn't she? Thank you, Lord, you don't treat me as I deserve, but your mercy and your grace follow me all the days of my life. Praying the word, it's the promise of God. With all prayers and petition. The NIV says prayers and requests. The King James Version says with all prayer and supplication. The word supplication is from supplicare, which means to plead humbly. In ancient Rome, a religious prayer to a deity, especially in thanksgiving for victory. So a Roman person would humbly come before their deity and they would thank him for the victory that's already won. Oh. Now here's our application, because with Jesus Christ we know that the victory has already been won. And so when we come to pray to God, it's not as if, oh Lord, I wonder whether you're going to win or not. We thank him because he's already won. And I thank you, Lord, that you've heard my prayer. And that you have victory over the enemy. And that the enemy has no power over my life. Because the victory has already been won on the cross. Thank you, Lord. With all prayer and supplication. On all occasions, all the time, by prayer and humbly pleading before God, thanking him for the victory, let your request be known to God. And then it says, with all perseverance. Two words that are translated perseverance in the New Testament. One is perseverance in the sense of bearing up under trial. And I guess there is a context in which we could apply that to, you know, shaking the enemy off, that we have to persevere. And even though when the enemy comes strong against us, even when the enemy convinces us that there's no point in praying, we need to continue and we need to persevere. That is one word that is used in the New Testament for persevere, and in context to what we're talking about, that is okay, it's no problem, and that's right, don't argue with that. But the word persevere, as in the text here tonight, with all perseverance, is not that word bearing up under a burden. The word perseverance here in this context is the one of being devout. And if I show you a scripture, I don't know whether we've got it on the screen, Joshua Acts 10:17, when the angel who was speaking to him, Cornelius, had left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier of those who were his personal attendants. And that word devout is this word perseverance, devout. And so it's talking about being devoted to prayer, being pious to prayer, being pious in your prayer. Now when I think about being devoted to prayer, I'm thinking that when we're devoted to prayer, we make prayer a priority. When a girl or a boy fall in love with one another, they are devoted to one another. Nothing can separate them. They ring one another up, they spend a lot of time on the phone, they spend a lot of time communicating with one another. They are devoted to one another, and if the boy asks the girl for something, will you go and get me something? She says, of course, darling. And if she asks him for something, he'll say, of course, sweetie, of course, I'll do anything for you. They are devoted to one another. priority to do things for one another. And likewise, we are to be devoted to God, devoted in our prayer. Nothing should be too much to ask. And I wonder whether also, when we're talking about devoted to prayer, I was thinking about this, whether when there should be a routine in our prayer rather than just haphazard. I was just thinking that sometimes our prayers can be haphazard. We can pray one day and forget the next and pray the another day, and then, it's a couple of days since I prayed. I think what the scripture is telling us is to be devoted to prayer. Make it a priority. Persevere in prayer. Devote your mind, your heart, and your soul to prayer. Make this your first priority. And also, I think here is, there's an implication of effort required. One of the people that talked to me last week about the sermon that I preached, they said to me, Ian, you know, you talked about the shaking off. I think one thing that I'm thinking about this is it requires effort. Prayer requires effort, doesn't it? It requires devotion. And if we're going to win victory over the enemy, we've got to make an effort to pray, and we've got to continue to pray. And say, but Ian, it's difficult to pray. I know it's difficult to pray. That's why God said he'd help you. That's why he's given us your Holy Spirit. And once you break through that resistance that you've got from the enemy, resist the devil and he will flee, then your prayer life becomes a lot more freer, and you know, and you've given notice to the enemy that you're not going to be put off, so he scarpers. So with all perseverance for all the saints, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Who are the saints? Well, I think, who was it? Was that Pope John the whatever? Has he just been made a saint? Has he? Is that what we're talking about? No. To the saints at Ephesus, wrote Paul. Who was he writing to? He was writing to the believers. And so we're all saints. The believers are saints. And so what Paul is saying is, pray for the saints. Pray for you. Pray for one another. Pray for each other. Pray for one another. Pray for the saints. And this is where it's critical, where it's crucial, because, hallelujah, those of us that are struggling, those that are under attack, hallelujah, we're not on our own. Not only have we got God's help, but we've got the support of the brothers and sisters in the church who we should be ringing up and saying, hey, Mary, oh, I'm just looking at you, Mary, oh, dearie me, I'm really having a rough day today. You know, I'm really getting a real kicking. You know, I'm really finding it difficult to pray. I don't know how I'm going to manage the rest of the day. I don't know how I'm going to get through. But Mary, can you pray for me? And you can do that. You can ring me. You can get your needs sent round the prayer chain if you wanted to. Or you can just ring up one of your friends, one of the people that you know well in the church, and say, oh, Martin, dearie me, if you knew what happened today, you wouldn't believe me. Will you pray for me? Will you pray with me? Or sometimes we don't need to tell everybody the details, because sometimes we think, well, I'm a little bit embarrassed to share what's happened in my life today. I'm a little bit embarrassed to tell everybody what's happened in my life. I'm a bit embarrassed. What would they think to me if I said to me, pray for this, that and the other? Well, don't worry about that. Just ask them to pray for you. Just say, help, pray for me, will you? I won't go into detail. I'll tell you afterwards if it's appropriate, but just pray for me. And this is what Paul is encouraging the church to do. Pray for the saints. So I want everybody here in this room to know that you're not alone. My number's on the notices. You know everybody, a lot of other people know everybody else's telephone number. And if you don't, I'll give you a church directory so that you do have everybody's up-to-date number. Pray for the saints. Pray for one another. I've put here, it's not only the local believers, Paul, Hebrews 3:12-13 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." In other words, pray for one another so that the enemy don't win. Pray for all the saints. Here's another slide that says pray for the local believers, pray for those believers further afield. Is the one here? No, there isn't. Okay, well, we'll miss that point then. Okay, good. So let us pray in the Spirit. Ask God to help you pray. Ask God to inspire your prayers. Ask God to move you to pray. Ask God to help you in knowing what to pray for. Ask God to help you give you the words to pray. If you want us to pray that you just receive that language that God wants to give you, then we can do that. But I don't want to put anybody under pressure or send anybody on a guilt trip or anything like that. I just want to encourage you tonight. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Always have that line open to God. With all prayer and petition. With all kinds of prayer. As you're walking down the street, worship Him. Honour Him. Bless Him for the people that you're going to meet. Thank Him that you're going to have good conversations that honour Him. Pray those prayers of help. Pray those prayers of need. Pray those prayers of worship and adoration. Pray with all perseverance. Don't give up. Keep on praying. Be devoted to prayer. Who for? Well, not only for yourself, of course, but for the body of Christ. For one another. Don't be frightened this week when the enemy gives you a kicking to pick up the phone and say, "Help! Somebody." Doesn't have to be me, it can be somebody else. "Help! Pray for me." And as we do, the enemy will be given notice to clear off. Thank you, Lord. There is power in prayer. Father, oh, thank you, Jesus, for Paul and the inspiration that you gave him when he wrote the scripture that we've been looking at tonight in Ephesians. Bless you, Lord. And Father, tonight, would you cement that word to our hearts by your Holy Spirit? Father, may none of us go from this building under a cloud of guilt or condemnation. That is the enemy who is the accuser of the brethren. But Father, may all of us go from this building knowing that you are on our side and that by your Holy Spirit you want to help us win victory. You want to help us shake the enemy off so that he's no longer a stranglehold on our lives. Father, as we look to you, Father, lead us and guide us in our prayers. Inspire us in our prayers. Help us to pray aright so that when we pray, we hit the nail on the head and send the enemy scarpering. Father, help us to pray in all different ways, keeping that line of communication always open, not neglecting you, but being devoted to prayer and pious in prayer, persevering in prayer, praying even when we don't feel like it. And Father, may we pray for one another and see victory in the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.